A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that had never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as though they were told, and they were untying the colt. Its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the needs and power that had been seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" God's word is life.
Jesus has been heading for Jerusalem for some time. You might say his whole life has been oriented to this day. And as the day arrives, he knows full well he is heading straight into the powers that would destroy him. His choice of a colt to ride on is in stark contrast to the scene that is unfolding on the opposite side of the city. There, Pilate, the Roman governor, is arriving, mounted on a tall, majestic stallion, leading a full-on military procession into the city. It's the Passover festival, when Jewish pilgrims from all over flood into the city, celebrating this great event in their history when God opened a way, setting them free from slavery in Egypt. It's a powerful story that can't help but fuel their longing for freedom now. And so the Roman authorities aren't taking any chances and are making their powerful presence known. And then over here we have Jesus on a colt, this small, humble animal, short enough that even Jesus' own feet are practically dragging on the ground. This is Jesus doing what he's been doing all along, presenting a radical alternative. He's not naive, he's being deliberate. He comes in peace, one more time embodying this way of love, knowing that this journey will cost him his life. It's important for us to know, I think, that all along and right up to this day, he's had the option to simply abandon this call. This call that has been forming and growing in him and propelling him from the day of his baptism when he heard, "You are my beloved, on you my favor rests." All along, he's had the option to let it go, to disappear into the shadows, knowing that at least in the meantime, maybe he has sown some seeds of another way. But he keeps choosing to live out this call, to reveal God's desire for a whole other way of being human together. His every action on this day is deliberate. What we are seeing is Jesus choosing to trust that this alternative way of love is still God's desire. And it's more than that. What we're seeing is Jesus choosing to trust that God's love for him will endure whatever happens. This is Jesus choosing to trust that this bond of love will not be broken, even though Jesus himself will be broken. This is Jesus trusting in God's faithfulness, hardly knowing what on earth that could look like. Right from the very beginning, Jesus has been inviting people to come along, to come and see. Maybe you've noticed he never forces. But that's not to say he exerts nothing, no influence, no sway. Love is not nothing. Love is the most powerful energy for life there is. Love heals an anguished heart. Love loosens the bond of guilt. Love propels us toward each other. Love parts the waters, makes a way. Love lends courage. Love endures all things. He doesn't force, but he loves us. And knowing us better and more truthfully than we even know ourselves, still, he loves us. Knowing well our frailty and our fear, because he knows so well his own, all the more he loves us. Knowing well the strength of our spirit and the weakness of our flesh, still he invites us to come with him. He calls us to come with him, not that we might accomplish great things, but that we may encounter the love that loves him, the love that compels him, that propels him, that delivers him, the lover who will not let him or any one of us go, no matter what. That's what he's about on this day and all week long. At every turn, he's inviting us to come and see, for that's where he wants to take us. This is what Follow Me has been about all along the way, that we could know and be met by the very love that has ignited his life. This love that has flared the whole creation into being and continues to sustain it. That's what he's about all week long, as he presses on, committed to carrying this love into the city, into the heart of all who both fear and ache for him, that we could find ourselves in touch and touched by so powerful a love, that we could come into his same deep freedom, the freedom that would empower us to live into the life that God so desires for us and for the whole creation. And so today, from then to now, to us wherever we are, he invites us to come once more, to come and see, that we might encounter that same love that holds him. Let's sing together. The words are noted right there in this purple order of service.